Thank you.
Merci. Mesdames et messieurs, pourriez-vous prendre vos places, s'il vous plaît? Nous allons commencer dans quelques minutes.
Good morning, ladies.
Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs. Nous arrivons au point du programme où nous allons écouter les rapports des présidents des divers comités du conseil d'administration. Il s'agit de comités qui sont consacrés à travailler énormément et, dans certains cas,
and we begin alphabetically as usual with the audit committee, and I'll call on Rita Radan Johnson, the chair of the audit committee, to give that report. Good morning, Rita.
Good morning, Peter. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. So I hope we're going to have our audio here. My name is Rita Radan Johnson, and I'm chair of the audit committee, and my fellow audit committee members are Harold Alvestrand, Steve Crocker, Dennis Jennings. I think we're going to switch the slide, I hope. Okay, next slide, please. I'm happy to report that the audit committee has been fairly busy, as you'll hear more about during the accountability and transparency review team process. All of the ICANN committees have been working towards improving their operations and looking towards best practices across various board committees. With respect to the audit committee, we've been doing a number of items to improve the workflow and the work productivity. And so a couple of things that we wanted to report on that we were providing oversight most recently were the development of cost accounting guidelines, and these guidelines are now posted on ICANN's website, the development of procurement guidelines, which are also posted on ICANN's website, and both of these guidelines were developed in conjunction with the Finance Committee. The third thing that we've been working on recently is the engagement of independent auditors for the ICANN FY10 financial year. We had our initial conference call with them this week. Another thing that we've been doing is we've established committee best practices and integration of those best practices into an annual project plan. So what each of the committees is doing is trying to do a 12-month plan for workflow so that we become more efficient and we understand what things need to be done at each meeting. And then we'll have a reporting back to the committee to make sure that we've actually achieved those objectives that we've forecast. Another thing we've done is we got briefed by staff. ICANN has had a hotline reporting system on an anonymous basis for, I believe, 2 years, but that hotline was never tested. So recently the ICANN staff tested that hotline, and we had a briefing on the performance of that hotline. And there's a few things that staff is going to do to make sure that that's even more robust than it currently is. And one thing that I'm very happy to announce is that we kicked off our internal audit function at ICANN. This is something that we've been looking at for a little bit over a year, how to both improve the financial controls within the organization and improve accountability. So we've initiated an internal audit function, and we'll be reporting on the results of that in the fall. We also oversaw the posting of the new IRS Form 990, and we received an update on the 401 compliance review. So we've been pretty busy. If anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to take them.
Thank you, Rita. Any questions of the chair of the audit committee? No, thank you, Rita. We move then to, after A for audit, comes B for board governance. And I mention that because some people thought it was the board's committee on governance, and that it's in charge of governing all sorts of things. This is, in fact, the Committee on Board Governance. This is the committee that looks at how the board governs itself and runs its processes. And Dennis Jennings is the chair of that committee. Dennis.
Thank you very much, Peter. If we could move to the first or the next slide, please, on the overhead. Have we a slide controller in the sky? Could we move?
It's on the board table.
Oh, it's on the
board. Yes, thank you. You have to pass it to one another. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Dennis, one of the lawyers will give you some technical help.
Thank you very much indeed. I didn't. It's early. Thank you. Next. There we go. Technically incompetent Dennis Jennings is the chair, and Rita Rodan Johnston, Ram Mohan, and Ray Polzak are the members of the Board Governance Committee. Now, current and recent activities. You may remember that we had a reconsideration request And just to back up a little bit, in the reorganisation of the committees, the reconsideration committee and the conflicts of interest committee were merged into the board governance committee. So this is the first reconsideration request, 10-1, that we had to deal with. And we reviewed and recommended for board approval in Nairobi a response to that. That has gone out for public comment, and we'll be finalising that at this board meeting this morning. One of the tasks we do annually and at mid-year is to work on the board committees, the slate of members on all the committees, as the board membership changes, and bring forward recommendations to the board. And we'll be talking about the mid-year slating later on in the meeting. This we have put in place processes and works now very smoothly. I understand that historically this has been quite a political bun fight from time to time. Now it's a process that I think works rather well. Also in Nairobi, we progressed the development of a comprehensive board training program. That's now in the hands of Diane Schroeder, who's doing a lot of work to profile the skills and develop a training program for board members. That includes induction of new board members and ongoing training and specific training for skills that board members need on committees. One thing that we did is deal with the at-large board member selection process and check that there were no board governance issues or capture issues associated with the proposed processes. We reviewed those to our satisfaction. Good practice on boards, good boards are boards that regularly assess themselves, assess their chair, assess the whole board performance, and indeed assess individual board members. Last year, for the first time, this board undertook a self-assessment of the chair and of the board, as you're aware from previous comments at previous meetings. And this year we're recommending that we continue with this process and expand it, not only to do a chair and board assessment, but to do individual board member assessments, which assessments, of course, will be confidential and therefore the individuals and for the chair to work with. Most importantly, as part of our increasing openness and transparency, we oversaw the publication of last year's chair assessment and board assessment. So if you're interested, they're available on our website. We began a process of discussing board committee succession planning. Our basic attitude to that is that that will be dealt with by the training program. And we haven't, although there are a number of committee chairs who are at risk coming up to the end of this year, at risk being that they may or may not be reselected. We haven't done a lot of that at this point in time, but we do believe that the succession planning is really a question of appropriate training. We have begun a discussion of positions descriptions of the board chair and the vice chair responsibilities. We all know roughly what the responsibilities are, but we think it would be very valuable to actually have a description of those responsibilities, particularly as we move towards further discussion of remuneration of the board members. And as part of the way we work, and we're encouraging all the committees to work, we're developing a work plan, an annual work plan of routine things that this committee should look at, and a calendar for that work plan so that we do things in a timely manner, and or rather more appropriately, that staff prompt us in a timely manner to get the things that we need done. And we're working hard with the other committees to make sure that they too all have a work plan and calendar to manage their work. As you're well aware, we have facilitated the board discussion on the formal consideration of board chair remuneration. And we recommended that the Compensation Committee review and provide a proposal, a reasonable proposal for board consideration, and that is up for discussion today. We've had a lot of talk about how to support board members and the approach that we're taking. This is with technology to make sure that board members have the tools to participate appropriately and to follow discussions and read documents and so on. And what we've done is we've continued the work to identify a uniform set of software applications, a list of those for board members, so that board members, we can check that they have that software or a variant of that software, and we can include induction materials and training materials at the board induction phase. And we're continuing discussions for processes for board staff and board community communication. You'll be well aware that a lot of communication comes directly to the board, which may or may not be appropriately directed to the board. But also a lot of communication come in and it may or may not be properly acknowledged, answered, processed in a timely manner. This is all housekeeping stuff, but very important to get right, and we're doing that. Oh, my goodness, we've been busy. As you know, there's an executive committee. The executive committee is chartered in the bylaws, which are a bit obsolete. They're very specific and actually have specific membership of the committee. Those members are no longer on the board, so that's a bit inappropriate. So we think it's appropriate to develop an executive committee charter. We have a draft, and we'll be sending that to the executive committee themselves for review. But just to make sure that there's no misunderstanding, the executive committee has very little to do. It's there to act for the board where the board is unavailable to act for some reason. It's more an emergency committee than anything else. And that's the purpose of the executive committee. It also has a detailed function, which is to approve expenditures, particularly board travel and other expenditures, and where the decisions are urgently required on major expenditures, to be available to do that. Although, in fact, the Finance Committee have put in place disbursement policies, which I think have largely removed the need for the Executive Committee to get involved. We've continued our discussion of the annual charter review and committee self-evaluation tools. This is new. Just as we have the board evaluating itself, the Board Governance Committee thinks that it's best practice that the committees evaluate themselves annually and review their charters annually and provide feedback to the BGC on their suggestions for a revision of the charter and the information on how they view that they have performed against their charter. And this is the first year that we're introducing that. There are materials that are going to each committee for their review. We hope to do this before the end of this, before the AGM. One of the things that we have been doing over the years is actually making a decision on who to appoint onto the nominating committee, the NomCom, as the research and academia representative. And in fact, we've been remiss. What we were supposed to do is identify an organization that puts a person on the NomCom. So we've been discussing that process, and we have a resolution coming to the board this morning, where we try and clean that up and do it properly in the future. We have formalized, or we're beginning a discussion on identifying board member skill sets by talking to, in particular, the chairs of the committees and asking them to talk to their committee members to identify a general profile of skills which will be input into the board training process, but also immediately, in the immediate future, we'll provide that list of skills to the chair, who will then have a discussion, if appropriate, if the chair deems appropriate, with the chair of the NomCom. We're doing this carefully because we're very sensitive to the independence of the nominating committee. But we feel that it would be useful to provide input through our chair to the chair of the NomCom on skill sets. Whether that will be useful for this year or not remains to be seen, but it's a process that will continue, we hope, in future years. And the Board Review Working Group comment on board member transitions between ICANN meetings. One of the embarrassments is that, and we dealt with it this year with Raimondo Becca, our chair invited Raimondo to be here as an observer, but the way the rules are at the moment, board members who are appointed by the support organisations disappear. in a puff of magic smoke 6 months after the AGM, and we think that that's not appropriate. The Board Review Working Group recommended that the transition take place at the mid-year meeting. But being pedants that we are, we ask questions like, well, what if there isn't a mid-year meeting? What do we do then? And we're looking at that, the details there, to make sure that we get it right. And that's the long list of stuff that we have on our plate, detailed, important, internal governance issue. Chairman, thank you.
Thank you, Dennis, for the report from the Board Governance Committee. Are there questions of Dennis about the Board Governance Committee's work? Marilyn, are you working to the microphone? Thank you.
I don't know. Somehow I thought it would be brought to me. My name is Marilyn Cade. I'd like to mention, I guess, the appreciation that I think many of us have for the board taking on additional work, because we do recognize that you're already working very hard on our behalf, and undertaking this additional work that you're undertaking is setting a platform and a legacy that will help the community going forward, not only strengthening your own skills, but setting the platform for the future and for board members who will be coming in and jumping into the deep end of the ocean and expected to swim very rapidly. So let me say thank you for that. I think that it is not easy for us, however, to understand always the direct benefit of expenditures related to this work. So I would just say that it's important that you do this particular feedback, but often the community has difficulty hearing a report that takes place in at a meeting. And it may be important for you to find a way to synthesize the purpose of this additional work and investment to make sure that everyone buys into it and supports it.
Thanks, Marilyn. One of the things I'm particularly pleased about, Dennis, is the work that's going on in terms of training. We've joined directors up to the National Association, the North American Company Directors Association. That's providing quite a lot of useful material, but also what that accesses is their very comprehensive training programs, which provide a sort of a common pool, a common layer of the same kind of information for directors. We all come from different corporate cultures, and so it's useful to have that kind of levelling thing. We've had a number of directors attending some of those courses. Are you able to report on that at all?
We've had a number of courses on the audit function and on the finance function, on the general responsibilities of board members, and on how to be a board member. But the main focus now is on developing a comprehensive training program that will incorporate that material. We've also had last year a one-day induction program, and our hope is that we'll have a two-day induction program for new board members, which will cover that sort of NACD material, briefings from council, and more detailed explanations of how ICANN works, which is sometimes a bit of a mystery even to those who've been on the board for quite some time.
Thank you, Dennis. Any further questions for Dennis? If not, thank you. And we move to the report from the Finance Committee. The chair of that is Rajasekhar Ramaraj. Morning, Ram. I see your microphone is working, so we'll hand over to you for the report from the Finance Committee.
Thank you, Peter. Good morning. I thought this is my start of my second term on the board, and I thought I may use this opportunity to let my colleagues on the board and community know that my name is Ramaraj, just that one name. Peter, of course, thinks that this is my feeble attempt to get to a megastar status like Madonna, but that's really my name. But in typical ICANN style, on the next slide, I put back the old format of Rajasekhar Ramaraj. My name is Ramaraj. The colleagues who have helped me on the Finance Committee are George Sadowski and Gonzalo. Bruce has sat in as an observer, And we've had a couple of board members like Steve Crocker and Dennis Jennings dropping in often to give us their inputs. This time of the year, last few months, has been focused on the operating plan and budget. We have had another challenge this year, that the FY10 budget was tending to overrun. Staff took some very competent steps to contain that, and we are pleased to announce that in spite of some tough environment and expenses, we would still have a contribution to the reserve fund this year too. The response to the budget framework and then the budget itself has been quite extensive. The more information we are able to provide, we are seeing greater quality and extent of responses, and this has actually triggered a thought of even maybe looking at some process enhancements. So for the FY12 budget, we'll talk about that more at the next meetings. We're looking at getting inputs from the SO and AC's chair and other people much, much earlier in the process. And as has been described a couple of times this week, it's almost like an organizational department or division kind of approach where we get more information directly from those SOs and AC's chairs and other people so that we have a better quality of that of the budgeting process. Focus has been on better reporting, far more in terms of types of reports, timeliness of reports, and greater granularity. So that's been another focus area. Worked with the audit committee to get three reports on cost accounting, on procurement policy, and a greater revised form of the IRS 990 that was required. That too got posted on time with far greater information. So the focus continues on improving some of the process and interaction with community for better budgeting, better reporting, and better compliance. Thank you.
In relation to the board member formerly known as Rajasekhar Ramaraj. Thank you, Ramaraj, for the report from the Finance Committee. I see Steve Crocker wants to make a comment, but before that, are there any questions from the community from the floor about the Finance Committee and the Finance Committee report?
Yes, Peter, this is Rob. We are doing remote interventions, and we do have an intervention.
Thank you, Rob. Go ahead.
Thank you. George Kirikos asks of Ramaraj, can the BFC please disclose what the management expense ratio is for the ICANN Reserve Fund?
I didn't understand that.
Sorry? No, I'm not sure that's what's being... I'm not actually quite sure what the expense ratio is. I can think of a number of alternatives. Ramaraj, well, could you help with that?
Excuse me, George describes that as the fees paid to outside investment managers per year.
Ah, okay.
Doug, would you be able to help? I don't have that top of my mind here.
Testing. This is Doug Brandt. You know, Kevin has that data. We can provide it, and I think if we could just follow up with a specific answer to George offline and make sure we're answering it exactly right. Thank you.
Yeah, and just to also use this opportunity to say that the Reserve Fund investment has been working well, but we will review the investment policy guidelines once again. Maybe around September time frame and come back to all of you on the new guidelines, if any.
Thank you. Steve Crocker, do you still have a question or a comment?
Thank you, Peter. I just wanted to chime in on Ramaraj's description of bringing in the inputs from the SO and ACs into the budget process. Doug Brandt also made a comment along this line yesterday. The budget has gone through a tremendous amount of work over the past few years to present it in multiple different ways to serve in order to be as transparent as possible. And yet in practice, and now I'm speaking as one of the AC chairs, the chair of the SSAC, that when we tried to match up the needs of our committee and put that into the budget process, we found that the pieces still did not fit. So that's been a conversation that's been underway for a period of time, and I want to express great appreciation for the quality of the reception that this message that I brought as a AC chair into the staff and into the budget committee has been very warmly received. It's been a slightly lengthy process to do this integration, and there's still some more steps to go forward, but it's, I think, very important, and it's one of these sort of hard to see from the outside, but important in terms of the mechanics of the operation to provide the right balance in a practical sense between the power and influence and effectiveness, I should say, of the external components of ICANN, the supporting organizations and the advisory committees, in comparison with the internal operation, the day-to-day heartbeat that the staff provides. And so providing that interplay in an effective way, I think, is very important in terms of getting this organization to provide the right balance between the external multi-stakeholder operation and the very active and vigorous efforts of the staff.
Thank you, Steve. Rod.
Yes, just briefly, we'll be looking at this issue over the coming year and taking a look at our planning processes and the coordination in these activities. So this will be something that we'll be taking a look at and considering. Thank you.
Ramaraj.
No, if there are no questions, I want to take this opportunity to thank Kevin Wilson and his team and Doug Brent for the great help and support that we've had at the Finance Committee. So thank you.
Yes, I'm sure the rest of the board joins in there. Thank you very much. Okay, let's move from the report of the Finance Committee to the report of the IANA Committee, and Harold Alvestrand is the chair of that very important committee. Harold, when you get hold of the controller, it's over to you.
Good morning. So the IANA Committee is me, in alphabetical order, Dennis Jennings, Kathleen Turay, and Thomas Norton and Suzanne Wolfe, who are serving in as liaisons to the board. And the committee is charged with overseeing the work of IANA. And as you can see from the report, the thing we spend a lot of time doing is actually having IANA tell us what they're doing. And it's been a lot. And the absolutely biggest thing IANA has done this year, or since Nairobi, is signing the RUT. And that has been a wonderfully successful and extremely competently executed project. So it's been a joy to watch, and we watched it closely. And you can also see that we are working on oversight of a number of other important issues IANA is dealing with. The breadth of things that IANA has is doing is very interesting. And one thing that's not on here is that we have received the news of our new IANA manager and made her welcome with pleasure. All this stuff you can read. 2 points I'd like to call out. We are worried or concerned about what will happen in the future of the new TLDs for new TLD program on delegations, especially for country co-delegations. There has been an issue that this has to go to the board for approval, which incurs additional delay into a system that already has a fair number of reasons for delay. We drafted an update to the ICANN board's review process, and in our next period, that is before Cartagena, we are going to discuss this with the board. Let me see, that was... we have meetings once a month when availability of board members permits. And we have enough work to fill those meetings, as you can see. Thank you. Any questions? Back to our chair.
Thank you, Harold. I always think no questions is an interesting sign. It's either everyone's still asleep or they're all just totally confident in the great work that's going on in the IANA committee. I'm sure it's the latter. We move then from the IANA committee to the Public Participation Committee, and I call on Jean-Jacques Subrenard, the chair of that committee, to give the report. Jean-Jacques.
Peter.
Oh, I'm sorry, Marilyn. That's a question for Harold about the IANA committee?
It is.
Well, I just asked Jean-Jacques to... go on hold, and we'll restore Harold. Marilyn.
I am the chair of the business constituency at ICANN, and I wanted to make a comment to the committee and to you, Harold, about the appreciation that I would like to express, whether or not it appears that the business community understands the importance of this and the significance of this. I'd like to reinforce the fact that we do, and that this achievement really has taken a profound step forward for ICANN, and it is part of the underpinning of our job in ensuring the security and stability of the not visible parts of the work of ICANN. So, while there were a number of technical people at the signing, and probably few business people, I think the importance of explaining this decision cannot be diminished, and explaining it in a way that the business community understands the significance of this. It is a great achievement, and I look forward to continuing to hear the reports from the committee about other steps that will be taken, and I would just urge that, in addition to explaining them in technical terms, we also continue to focus on explaining them in business terms.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn. Back to Jean-Jacques for the report from the Public Participation Committee.
Thank you, Peter. So these are the members of the Public Participation Committee for this year: Thomas Martin, Gonzalo Navarro, Wanda Scartesini, Katim Touré, and myself. I've not mentioned here on this slide who is a voting member or not, because actually I think that especially in the functions performed by this committee, every piece of advice is welcome. And I must say that the non-voting members, Thomas Martin and Wanda Scartesini, contribute in a very, very important way. So thank you to all of them. The activities, I tried to set them out not in general terms, but more narrowly from one international meeting of ICANN to another, that is, from Nairobi to Brussels. These are just the general indications. We can give more details if you're interested. As you may remember, over the past few years, there has been a growing demand for quality interpretation and translation services. And also, we cannot launch into this without some guidelines, if only because this entails some expenditure. And also, we want to make sure that that expenditure is justified. I'd like to make a personal remark here. Just at this moment, this meeting room is not full, but yesterday during the public forum, it was pretty much full. And I had a close look at the number of people who were actually wearing their earphones or headsets. And I tried to compare that with the number of written requests from the community for simultaneous translation services in this kind of international meeting of ICANN. And I found that there was really a misfit between the two. So we will try to refine this this aspect with the members of the staff in order to make sure that the questionnaire to which you are invited to respond does bring out the fact that you are not making a policy statement that you think there should be five languages or three or whatever, but that you personally actually require that as an aid for better comprehension. So there is a difference between the United Nations system, for instance, and ourselves, one of them being that we are somewhat smaller. But I think it's not a statement of national or regional positions. I think it's a question of efficiency. So we must find a better fit between real requirements and the services provided at a cost to the community. You will have noticed, however, that we are making an effort in the field of translation. The big challenge, of course, is that whereas there would be an understandable requirement for translation of full documents, for the time being, we prefer to concentrate in various areas on getting good resumes and then passing on those resumes for translation. Now, the advancement of remote participation, including training for the ICANN community, I think this has gone fairly well. You may have noticed that in Nairobi, whereas we may have had some other preoccupations, at least the remote participation aspect of it was, I'm told by many members of the community, a resounding success. So, of course, we want to build on that. We did get your messages in Nairobi that the overall system worked well, but that there were weaknesses in the chain. Some of the links were very poor, especially things such as headsets, microphones, the link with interpreters, with scribes, etc. And speaking personally, I must say that this time in Brussels, this aspect of facilitating public participation has been very much improved, but I'd like to hear from you. The training for the ICANN community is an ongoing process. I'd like to point you especially to the webinars which are put up online and where you can, even if you missed some of those webinars, catch up by following what was done. I found that these were quite helpful. The launch of the Meetings of the Next Decade survey started a few months ago, and this we will report to you at our next international meeting. But the idea is that rather than have a short-term view of things, we wanted a really bottom-up process in which we would ask the community what it thought the purpose of such international meetings was, to begin with, but also what they could become or should become, to have a prospective view. And we've had already quite a few answers, and we would like to share that with you when it is more advanced. So to keep this short, I've just given you here two references or links, and now open to question. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. Are there questions in relation to public participation? I see Olga coming forward. Olga.
Good morning. This is Olga Cavalli, non-com appointee to the GNSO. I would like to commend the committee for all the hard work, especially about translations. This is very much appreciated by people like me who English is our second language. In relation with your comment about the use of headphones, I would strongly recommend not to stop the translations. I know it's very challenging for every budget. I organize several events in Latin America, and when people come from abroad and they speak English, I usually try to have simultaneous translation into Spanish, so I don't put people aside that could not follow their speech. Perhaps what it should be stated in before the meeting starts, it's that the people remember that it is available. We are so much accustomed that English is the speaking language of our meetings here in ICANN that perhaps we forget it. And I myself do that. I should speak Spanish now, and I don't. But I'm so much accustomed in using English. So perhaps it's a little bit of educating the participants in the meeting. But if you keep it in the next meetings to the future, it will enable newcomers into our meetings. And we all in different SOs and ACs are doing a strong effort for outreach. So I would encourage that you keep the translations as they are now. Thank you.
Thank you. Sebastian?
Monsieur le Président, merci.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that the question that was asked by the President of the Committee, by Jean-Jacques, as far as the improvement of things since Nairobi, concerning the technical aspects, yes, it was very much improved in many ways, and I think that the community should congratulate all the members for their efforts that helped us and allowed us to have interpreting, simultaneous interpreting, even for the persons who were participating remotely and vice versa. I would like to underline what and to insist and to chime with Olga. She could have spoken in Spanish, yes, of course. But the number of headsets is not really the good criteria. If you could take out the screen that you have behind you in this moment, all the participants who do not understand French should use earphones. So, and I don't have it. The fact to base ourselves and to say that you understand English, you don't need headsets, is not like this. You will have to listen to languages that you do not understand, possibly, and you need headsets. Here, in this meeting, apart from the persons who speak English, French, or Spanish, everybody should have headsets. And you have also to take into consideration the persons who are outside the room and who would need these translations. I will not go on, and thank you so much, dear chairmen.
To the Public Participation Committee. Seeing none, we move then to the next one alphabetically, which is the Risk Committee, and the chair of that committee is Bruce Tonkin. Bruce, over to you.
Thank you, Peter. Okay, I'm just moving through the slide. This basically represents the members of the Risk Committee, which is myself as chair, Bruce Tonkin, Steve Crocker, Ramaraj, Mike Silber, and Susan Wolfe. One of the things we do in each of our Risk Committee meetings is we typically focus on one particular area of risk and do a bit of a deep dive. So the meeting in the 20th of May, referred to these slides, we talked about risk strategy for managing ICANN meeting venues. Obviously, we're looking at up to 1,000 people and making sure that everyone's safe. So just at a high level, the approach that we're taking with meeting venue risk strategies. First, when looking at a meeting location, consider any third-party risk reports on that location. So those include United Nations ratings, because the United Nations often has offices in different parts of the world. Look at published government travel advisories. So a lot of governments publish advisories for their citizens on different countries and what to look out for. And then we also look at travel insurance ratings and get a sense of, you know, do travel insurance companies give that location a higher rating? then basically if their third-party reports identify a location as having a higher risk level, then there's more due diligence done in terms of on-site visits. And if a location has been identified as having higher risks than normal, a specific security plan is developed for that venue. Otherwise, such as at this venue, we just have general security precautions. You know, don't leave your laptops in empty meeting rooms, and you know, watch the percentage of alcohol on the local beer, that sort of thing. So basically, this risk rating doesn't mean that we're not going to visit different locations around the world. We certainly are. But where a location has a higher than average security area, we take site-specific precautions. So that's the meeting venue topic. The one of the other areas we looked at was IANA, and just sort of looking at that function. So some of the things that we, in terms of areas of failure, if you like, with respect to the IANA procedures are unable to complete a change request in a timely fashion. So that's really showing your resiliency in your processes. Secondly, the unintentional introduction of an error. So in other words, someone makes a mistake. So we try and design the process to minimise those mistakes. And then thirdly, the intentional introduction of an error. So that could be where someone impersonates a member of the community and asks for a change of a particular record. And so there's security procedures to make sure that you know, the change is the correct one. So some of the things that relate to areas of if you like, risk mitigation, one of it is ensuring we've got enough skilled staff. So, you know, looking at succession planning, looking at training, and making sure we have enough staff so we're not dependent on one or two individuals with respect to the IANA function. Also includes documenting all your processes. So, you know, if two or three people left at once and you had to hire new people, they've got clearly written procedures that they are following. We also have a two-person rule for most of the manual steps in the process. So in simple terms, always two sets of eyes checking everything. So if one person makes a mistake, hopefully the second person identifies that. Then there's the obvious stuff, like making sure that the IT environment is running at high levels of availability. So that includes things like making sure you've got multiple network connections, you know, multiple computers, multiple routers, etc. All the IT infrastructure is suitably redundant. Then there's also conducting exercises and drills where we conduct a drill that, you know, some disaster happens to one location, such as in Los Angeles, and can we bring the function up somewhere else in the world relatively quickly. So we actually test that, and those drills and procedures will be published fairly openly, so you can see that we are actually conducting those. So that's I guess, a couple of areas that we've looked at in more detail. Down the bottom of this slide is interesting, in when we look at DNS risk assessment, one of the things the Risk Committee looks at and ICANN as an organisation looks at is the difference between risks that we directly control versus the general risks in the internet environment. So we might control, for example, with respect to the root servers, ICANN runs one root server, which is LROOT. So ICANN as an organisation makes sure that that's high availability, etc. But then there are other root servers, and it's a matter of, you know, participating in that community and working together to ensure that the overall system has a high level of availability. So on the topic of DNS risk assessment, there's been quite a bit of discussion about this since the last meeting in Nairobi, and I was pleased to hear from Chris Despain yesterday, chair of the CCNSO, that a community initiative is being put together where representatives from the country codes, the generic top-level domain community, are collectively going to look at some of the DNS risks in the system as a whole, and attempt to identify some of those major risks. So that's a very positive initiative that's occurring in the community. And one of the real benefits of the ICANN community is we can conduct those initiatives as a group, whereas no single organisation has all the solutions. So this is just a bit of a list, I guess, of on the slide of some of the things we've looked at in the past and some of the things that we looked at this meeting. So we looked at IP address 4, address allocation issues, LRoot, and we'll provide some more detail on that in future meetings. But also I hope to try to provide more of the briefing papers in these topics for the community to review and also, you know, identify any risks that we may not have considered. One thing important with risk management is risk management doesn't mean nothing can go wrong. What it means is that you're trying to identify up front where you think risks may be and you're trying to reduce the likelihood of those risks occurring. And there's a difference between looking at risk consequences, which is what happens if something goes wrong, what's the impact to people and the likelihood of that happening. And so recently there was, as part of the rollout of some of the new security technologies, there was a mistake which can always occur in any system. But in this particular case, the likelihood's one of those very unusual events, and I'll just liken it very simply to, you know, often if you work in a large building, you'll run fire alarms and fire drills, and you typically tell everyone, yeah, today we've got a fire drill, and when the alarms go off, you know, you should evacuate the building and do all the right things. What's usually unlikely in that situation is that a fire actually happens at the same time, because while all these alarms are going off, you go, no, that's fine, all the alarms are going off, don't worry about it, and that might actually delay your response to calling the fire brigade and, you know, starting to turn the hoses on. So that's a low likelihood situation, and it did actually happen recently in the security space. One of the things that we're looking at is building the procedures within the organisation around risk management. Just flick through these dot points fairly quickly, but one of the things that we've been focusing on recently is not just the process of identifying risks up front, but also the process of analysing incidents. And so that typically means that when there is a major incident, you deal with that incident and fix that the best you can. But a week or so later, you actually sit down as a group and go through everything that happened in that incident. You write it up formally. You write up the lessons learned, and you improve your processes as a result. And so that's one of the things the risk committee has been discussing with the staff, is about sort of building that formal incident management approach, and creates a record so staff can go back and see, you know, what's happened in the past and how have those incidents been managed in the past. This is showing, I guess, a view forward of some of the things we're going to be looking at. So one of the things is reviewing the risks that we've already identified and just seeing if they're still relevant. Another area that's come up is cooperation between the committees, being the IANA audit and finance committees, on different topics. So if we do a deep dive into something like the IANA processes, we would engage the IANA committee members. When we're looking at the controls that have been put in place to manage risk, you know, we'd ask the audit committee to check those controls and make sure that you know, we are actually mitigating against risks, etc. That's it.
Excellent. Thank you, Bruce. Are there questions from the floor about the report of the risk committee? Rob, any online?
No, Peter.
Thank you. Any comments from the board? If not, thank you very much, Bruce. Very, very important area of work, one of those classic ones that largely goes, you know, unremarked. When you're doing a good job, nobody knows about it. We move then to the last of the board committees, which is the Structural Improvements Committee, and I'll ask Ray Paulzak to speak to that report. He's just coming to pick up the talking stick to take control of the slide deck. Ray, over to you. Thanks.
Thank you, Peter. we have the fade-in animation here this morning. I'm Ray Polzak, chair The active members of the committee are Mike, George, Yoni, and Jean-Jacques. Raimundo Becca, who is no longer a active member of the committee, has been participating in the activities of the committee since he formally departed from the board, and we have valued his continued advice and opinions in this area. We've also had a change in support staff in that we are now ably supported by Olaf Nordling, and so Olaf has jumped in feet first and has done a lot of good work already. This slide represents current status of where things are at, and we have the working group has reviewed the report has been completed. At-large activities have been completed. This morning you'll see a resolution on moving forward on seating a member from the at-large committee. The first step in that process is going to be the bylaws review that's necessary to accomplish this. Again, the stated goal is to have this person seated at the AGM at the end of the year. We also received a implementation plan from the ALAC, and we will be moving forward on that so that although some work has already begun in that area, plan can be put forward and finally adopted by the board. We've continued to work with the NCSG in reviewing their charter. There has been a lot of hard work. Now, I will emphasize that hard work done by the NCSG in this area, and the committee appreciates all their efforts to date, and we feel that real progress is made in moving this along. As a reminder, the NCSG is currently acting under an interim charter, and we are moving to produce a final charter for board approval. We have also begun work on the preparation of the terms of reference for the reviews of the last two groups, the ASO and the TLG. As we move ahead, one of the things that we need to do as the implementation of these reports of the reviews is that we have to know what's going on. And the methodology in the past has been periodic detailed reports from the staff and happening at intervals, perhaps a quarterly basis or so forth. And so what we're going to do is move towards a dashboard that's going to be available on the ICANN website. And this will be updated on an ad hoc and as-you-go basis so that the community can get a real-time report about the progress of the implementation of all the of the work or results of the reviews. We are going to initiate the TLG review. In fact, there's a couple of resolutions this morning on that. We've begun work to initiate the ASO review. We certainly hope that we'll be able to complete the NCSG activities. And we will be able to complete all of our activities on implementation recommendations. And with that, I will say thank you, and I'm available for questions.
Thank you, Ray. Very important committee doing a huge amount of work on the very structure of ICANN. So thank you for the report. Any questions from the community about the report? If not, thank you, Ray.